Hello, everybody. My name is Jonathan, and I'm an adult child of a dysfunctional family and an alcoholic. I'm also an AA member as well. It's really nice, very, very nice to be here. I want to start by thanking actually the entire committee for inviting me, even if I was the plan B. But yeah, just what an awesome event. I can't believe it went by so quickly. Beautiful location. You know, I was a bit nervous before coming on here and just went for a walk and like looked at the peaks and, you know, the clouds, and it's just incredible. But thank you for putting this on and thank you for having me. And, you know, it's been an incredible kind of opportunity to reflect back at how much life has changed since I joined ACA. And the timing couldn't be more perfect, really, because a lot of milestones recently occurred in my life. So I turned 35 years old. I celebrated 4 days ago 5 years of AA recovery and sobriety. It'll be 6 years in ACA soon. But it feels very special to speak at a convention like this because a little over 5 years ago, you know, I was extremely lost. You know, without 12-step recovery, I felt you know, broken in every way possible. I was full of fear, full of anxiety. I didn't know who I was. I was living out of a duffel bag at my grandmother's house. I was coming out of an extremely chaotic and abusive relationship. And I was desperate for change. And it's not that I hadn't tried to change. You know, I just get the AA literature coming to mind now. And since we're in a room with a lot of double winners, I'll say it. You know, the countless vain attempts to control his drinking. I did the same thing for my sort of ACA-ness, right? We talked about in the intimacy meeting yesterday, like this predicament of craving intimacy and closeness with others and being completely incapable of it at the same time. And, you know, so I tried the yoga retreats. I did 10 years off and on of talk therapy. I read spiritual literature and books. I meditated. I was into Stoicism, for those who know or have read a little bit about that. And, you know, obviously also a series of dysfunctional relationships, which I hope I'll get into, just to just kind of paint a picture of what life was like. And, of course, drugs and alcohol and nothing worked. And I had turned over every single stone I could. And I just didn't know what to do anymore. So and I'll get to why it feels special to be here right now, but my first contact with ACA was actually through the ACA literature. And, you know, I spent most of my life in this sort of maze of suffering, you know, layers and layers and layers of pain and confusion and not understanding why. And, you know, any, you know, diagnosis you want to think about, you know, the ADHD, the depression, the suicidality, I can't tell you how many times I thought it would be easier to die than to go on, even as a child, you know. And when I found the ACA literature for the first time, it was the Big Red Book. We have a few at the back there. And it was a complete revolution for me. There was a salvation. You know, I had read a ton of books. I had, you know, been into contact with, you know, therapy and different therapeutic modalities. But there was a description of my predicament like I had never heard it before. I never read it before. And I couldn't put the book down. You know, I just read it and read it and read it and read it. And it was like people were giving me the words to describe things that I couldn't even, you know, conceptualize. And that felt extremely relieving because it meant I wasn't alone. You know, I spent you know, most of my time feeling all this suffering and thinking it was my fault, and thinking there was probably something fundamentally flawed about me, something I didn't get that other people got, and that I was the only one that felt that way. And but then there was a book. And if a book was written on this, that means a lot of other people have felt this. And what felt unique about it was that not only did it describe my predicament, but it also described how to get out of it. That was extremely interesting to me. Because I had tried to change, and I had tried to change many times also through other people. And, you know, people, you know, this, it was the codependent pact, right? You fix me, and I fix you, and I just end up completely broken. And it doesn't work. So I found this literature, and my life was in total shambles. I'll spare you some of the details, but just to paint a little picture, I was in a relationship, I was going to therapy, and at one point my therapist said, you know, this is an abusive relationship. And, you know, hearing it from the mouth of a, you know, qualified professional. And in that case, you know, now I see how I co-created that. But in this dynamic, you know, I was kind of the victim. My partner was the perpetrator. And I just couldn't get out of it. You know, I just couldn't. And I felt stuck. And where was I going with this? So I was coming out of this very tumultuous relationship. And I had a friend die of an overdose. A week later, another friend took his own life in a very, I'll say, violent way. And there was a variety of things going on, and it just felt total chaos. I was paranoid. I thought there were microphones in my car that my ex had placed. And I just desperately needed to change. So I found this literature. I started going to meetings. And, you know, I heard this morning, I was chatting with John, and John said, God loves a trier. There he is. God loves a trier. And God knows I tried. I tried so hard. I went to as many meetings as I could. I read as much literature as I could. Anybody that had an ounce of something that I wanted, I went up to them and I spoke with them and I asked them, what do you do, basically? And, you know, I started, you know, pattern matching in these meetings. You know, not only was I, you know, being shown a lot about my own patterns, but I started to see, you know, this sort of consistency. These people that had what I wanted, they were kind of saying, you know, and doing similar things. And, you know, one of those was they were really into the literature. They were really into the steps, and they did service in various forms. And that's what I kind of sought to do. And I tried to find a sponsor, because most of these people talked about sponsorship. And as an ACA, it was difficult for me to trust someone, you know, very, very difficult for me to trust someone, especially in the, like, traditional, you know, men with men and women with women. You know, my father is my ACA qualifier. And, you know, trusting another man, extremely difficult. So I had two sponsors, men who were also alcoholics, and one of them was very unreliable. The other one didn't work out with. And but I kept trying and trying and trying. And so I went to a convention similar to this one, and actually not similar. It was in a Toronto suburb. very unlike this setting, but it was in another city. It was 6 hours away from where I was living and where I'm from. And I thought, if this is a convention, there's going to be a lot of people who take their recovery seriously. There's speakers, so there must be people who will have done the steps. Because in my city, there weren't many people. The meetings were in French. There wasn't any literature in French, so there weren't many people who had done the steps. So I went there, and I'm coming to why this is really significant for me. I saw a woman come up on stage and tell her story. And she talked about how she had been completely, completely transformed from the inside out through this program. And for whatever reason, the message really resonated, you know, with me. And I went to speak with her after. I took her phone number, and then I went for fellowship after. And it just so happened that she was sitting next to me at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I asked this woman to be my sponsor five years ago at this convention. And last night I was on the phone with her. I was a little bit nervous, and I, you know, she's spoken a lot of these things, so I called her, and she said, and she swears a lot, so excuse my language. She said, "Jonathan, you have been completely and utterly fucking transformed before my very eyes through this program." And when Katarina told me the topic was now, that's actually the first word that came to me, was transformed. That's hopefully what I wanna share about and what I'll communicate to you today. So I talked a little bit about what it was like, you know, just a little bit more, you know, just, you know, living with an alcoholic father and a food addict father, you know, tiptoeing, you know, that hypervigilance, like I'll just say hypervigilance is a new word. I never heard this, but basically living, you know, full of fear and, you know, constantly seeing myself from a third person point of view and, you know, being really small and not taking up space and not playing and not joking around and saying the right thing and, you know, planning what I'm going to say and being, you know, going to my room and just really just, you know, being afraid all the time. And, so talking and, you know, exposing myself here today is a big change. And then I said I would talk about relationships. Later in life, that became, you know, what actually brought me to these rooms. And I won't go through all of them because there's not enough time. But, you know, let's see what I'll say. We read in the laundry list, we were attracted by weakness, you know, and we live life from the standpoint of victims and we're attracted by this, you know, something along those lines. And that was my modus operandi, you know, that was how I lived. So whether it was with friendships or relationships, you know, one former partner, on our first date told me, you know, she had lost her mother from suicide and, you know, her mother was alcoholic and she told me about her problems. And for me, it was like, oh, this is perfect. You know, this is like, we relate, she can understand me, you know? And I had no idea, you know, this idea we hear now a lot in these rooms, like this concept of a red flag. I had no idea. For me, red flags were open doors, you know, green flags. This is it. This is perfect for me. And, you know, I envied happy people and I resented happy people. You know, I looked at them and I would say, how dare they? You know, these people that were in healthy relationships. So, you know, I walked around through life feeling like I was broken, deeply, deeply broken. You can't see that. I can't show you that. And so if I connect with you, you know, I have to just be whatever you expect me to be or whatever I need to be so that you can accept me into your life. And I lived like a shapeshifter like this, you know. And so I became what this woman wanted me to be and needed me to be. And I'll spare you the details, but, you know, by the end of it, she was cheating on me openly and coming back and telling me about it. And it hurt me so much, you know, hurt me so much. And it was completely unacceptable. And I had so much anger, you know, and, you know, probably a normal person would say, hey, this is not for me. You know, let's part ways. You know, if monogamy is your thing, but my reaction was, I need to change so that someone else cheating on me becomes okay for me. And this is a me problem, and I need to change. So I drove myself into a hole, you know, doing that. I lost maybe 30 pounds or 20 pounds. I was super skinny. Eventually got out of that relationship. Years later was the relationship I told you about that got me into these rooms. That's kind of like what life looks like. So fast forward to, you know, finding this sponsor at this convention. I've met her only once, and you know, she lives in the U.S. I lived in Canada, so our entire thing has happened, you know, virtually over the phone, pretty much. And you know, she said, "Okay, I'll sponsor you. Let's meet every week at 9 a.m. On Tuesdays, and we're gonna do the steps." And we did them with the yellow workbook. I think there's a couple there at the back. And she's big on boundaries. I know there was a workshop on boundaries this weekend, and she's big on those. She actually gives boundaries workshops as well, and a whole bunch of other things. And so I had to call her at 9 a.m., you know, not 9:04, not 8:58. And our calls end all the time on time, 5 minutes before the top of the hour, you know, no matter what. And then later on, I felt like I needed to connect a little bit more than once a week. So on Sundays, we spoke, I think it was like 6:45 to the T, and like it was 15 minutes and it ends at 7, and that's it. And, you know, talk about intimacy. We were talking about intimacy in the meeting yesterday. And, you know, it was very hard for me to trust other people with these very, very, very kind of difficult, vulnerable things. And that's, I think that space with this sponsor was, you know, my first experience of getting vulnerable at that level. And she showed up for me like no one ever has showed up for me. You know, it's now over 5 years and we still talk at the same time on the same day. It's now every 2 weeks, it used to be every week. And that's just incredible. You know, that consistency, like someone being there every week at the same time, knowing what to expect from them, knowing what I'm gonna get from them, and they're not judging me, they're not shaming me, they're not telling me that I'm wrong, they're listening and they're validating and they're sharing about their experience. Wow, that was, and still is, one of the greatest gifts I got from this program. And I'll get to it, hopefully, but I now can be that person for other people. So I worked the steps very, very different from AA steps. You know, the ACA steps, as they're written in the workbook, go into a lot of detail, a lot of nuance. And, you know, it's about, how can I put the difference is kind of, for me, it's hard to say, but kind of understanding not only, you know, okay, here's an example. I was nervous about coming up here today. And my AA voice is like, this is the perfect example of the, you know, alcoholic, you know, grandiosity with the inferiority complex. You know, I'm thinking if I don't say the right thing, everybody's going to be angry. Everybody's not going to like me. And at the same time, they're, you know, they all paid money to be here and I'm going to ruin their weekend, you know. And so my AA hat says like, okay, this is fear, this is ego. And then my ACA hat, you know, is like, I look inside of me and then I realize there's like a kid there and a teen that's really, really, that just really wants to be liked. And he's afraid, you know. He's afraid because he was bullied, because he was made fun of, because he was shot down, because he was exposed to violence and abuse. And he's afraid of being seen and he just wants to be liked and he's scared. And he learned that in order to be safe, he has to say the right thing. He has to do the right thing. He has to be validated by other people. He has to perform. He has to be perfect. And so, you know, when I was sitting there and listening to this stuff, I could, you know, get in touch with that kid and say, hey, everything's going to be okay. It's okay. I see you. I see you. And I feel calm when I do that. So that's kind of the difference between kind of the language in both programs bring me. And I get so much from AA too. It's not to disparage AA because I'm very involved in that. But so where was I? I did the steps. It was a very, very long, much, much longer process. I think step four took me, in AA, it took me 2 weeks. My sponsor gave me 2 weeks. And I wrote like 130-page, you know, step four inventory. And in ACA, I think step four, I don't know, took me at least 6 months or 8 months, maybe even a year. There were times in my step four where I met with my sponsor. I said, hey, I can't do any of this inventory. Can we just talk? You know, it was just too painful. During my step four, I would wake up sometimes in the morning, and all I could do was sit in the fetal position. That's not sit, lie down in the fetal. I would sit to meditate on the floor, and I can't do this. And I would lie down in a fetal position and like not move for half an hour, and that's all I could do. It was tough. You know, the work wasn't easy. But as I said, I've been completely, completely and utterly transformed through it. And I think that, you know, in ACA there's this thing called the loving parent. And, you know, learning to become your own loving parent is part of the solution. And I think that I was talking to Francisca about her workshop, and she told me about this idea of like systems thinking. And in certain systems, there's some things you can change directly by doing them. There's like knobs you can turn and you can change the thing. And there's certain things you can only get indirectly by doing other things. And for me, becoming my own loving parent, I could only do indirectly through the process of working the steps, learning to take care of myself, self-care. This period where I could only, you know, wake up and be in a fetal position, you know, taking warm baths with a candle and, you know, bubble bath twice a day if I needed it, these things like this. Worked the steps in ACA completely, completely, you know, my life started to change. You know, all these things that we hear in the rooms, like, and that we heard in the promises started to come true. So like intuitively handling, you know, intuitively setting boundaries, healthy boundaries will become easier for us to set. Becoming attracted by people's strengths. Developing a sense of identity, building healthier relationships with others. All of this started to happen for me, slowly but surely. And I want to emphasize slowly, because sometimes painfully, painfully, painfully slowly. And it wasn't always apparent. So I think I have about 5 or so minutes left, and I want to talk about now. And that's how I interpreted the theme of this conference, now, what my life is like now. And if there's one thing, you know, I hope to communicate today, is that deep and profound change is possible. And, you know, if I give at least one person here a little bit of hope that, you know, that's true, I think I'll have done an okay job. And, you know, so coming from a place of being an only child, terrified of other people, incapable of building relationships with others, incapable of putting myself out there and taking healthy risks, incapable of being in a healthy relationship. A little over 2 years ago, three years ago, I met my current partner. That was an interesting, you know, journey. I started dating again after having done all 12 steps and with all this knowledge of myself, you know, and dating in recovery, maybe topic for a future talk, but, so started dating this person and ended up moving, you know, from Canada, where I'm from, to Amsterdam. And, oh boy, that was like making that decision, like, you know, yeah, I had to lean. One of the things I hope I mentioned enough, but I don't think I did, is like asking for help brought so many mentors into my life, you know, I have not only my ACA sponsor, I have my AA sponsor, I have a coach now, I have actually two coaches, and I have a therapist. And so, moving to Amsterdam and you know, all those fears of reproducing those old patterns, you know, came up. And, you know, this ACA fear of enmeshment, like, I want to be close to someone, but I don't want to be close to someone because that hurts too much and I'll fuck this up and this will end up really badly. And essentially, you know, just came to a place of trusting that I have sufficiently changed and I can now set boundaries and I now have a higher power and I can now take care of myself and I now have a loving parent who can be, you know, a part of the picture. And, you know, basically trusting that I'm no longer that little boy that's trying to get fixed through someone else and who's going to completely just, you know, this is what I did before, is like, if I could just go inside of you and just become you and merge with you, then I'll be okay and I'll be safe, you know. But no, I had my own identity, you know. I could make my own decisions. But my mentors, my sponsor were very, very important through that period. So moved to another country, moved in with a partner. It was rocky at first, and my response was to throw myself all the more into service, into these meetings, and that saved me. And you know, because we're in a double winner room, I'll say it wasn't only ACA, you know, a lot of AA, and things grew. You know, and you know, it said healthy boundaries will become easier for us to set. At a certain point, I had to say, you know, certain things have to change. Otherwise, this is not okay for me, and I'm going to have to make a decision. And both I and my partner started to change and work on these things. And and now we recently bought a home. We have a dog, lovely. If you want to see pictures of my dog, please come to me. it's actually a huge ACA promise, this dog thing. And I'll just say a quick word. Like, as a kid, I was alone and I wanted a dog. And I asked my parents, can I have a dog? And they didn't want me to have a dog. And I craved, you know, having a dog and having this. I think what it was is like, yes, this little fuzzy thing, but knowing what to expect, like I said with my sponsor, like having this consistency, this thing that's not gonna basically attack me or abuse me, or, you know, like having this friend and this thing that I've wanted my entire life, you know. And I started researching getting a dog, early recovery, and waited for, you know, the right moment. And finally, when we bought our own home, I got this dog, and she's perfect. And one morning I was meditating and I sat on the couch and I was doing a sort of meditation like I just described, like getting in touch with what's the parts here. And my dog jumped onto the couch, which she often does when I meditate, and she put her head on my lap. And I was instantly connected with that little boy that was deeply, deeply, deeply just longing for a safe friend and presence. And I saw him and he was so happy, and I had this first kind of connection with this little boy. And this realization that I've given this little boy everything that he longed for. You know, I'm in a safe house. I'm on a cozy couch with cozy blankets. I have my own room where I can meditate and do my thing. I have a loving partner. I have stability, emotional stability, financial stability, psychological stability. You know, all these things that my child was craving, I had given it. And I had this profound realization and this connection with him. And I started to cry. And it started by like small tears, and then I started to get more and more tears, and I started to weep, and my dog's reaction was to put more of her body onto me. The more I wept, the more she put herself on me. And it was just this really, really profound moment that I hope kind of sheds light on how much things have changed. So not only do I have a loving, stable home, financial stability, I have a career now where I feel I am challenged to be my best self. I have a host of mentors. Oh, I'm over time, so I'll wrap it up. I have a host of mentors, and this idea of self-love that was really, really elusive to me when I came to these rooms, I can begin to understand. And the other idea is this idea of integration. This is kind of an abstract concept that I read about in the books, but basically what I've come to understand it as is just, you know, being the same person wherever kind of I go, and no matter what relationship I'm in, as opposed to being a shapeshifter and kind of just adapting to whatever I think you want me to be. And I think that has largely become my new normal. So one of the ACA promises is we learn to expect the best and get it. And when Katerina asked me to speak, I was a little bit like, I don't even know what I'm going to speak about because I've kind of forgotten what it was like, because this is my new normal. Mm-hmm. This loving home, this stability is my new normal. And I can take it for granted in the sense that I'm not afraid that it's going to be swept from under me at any given moment. And I need to do work to maintain it, but it's there and it's my new normal. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to recognize how much my life has changed through this program. I hope it's been worthwhile for you. Glad to be here. Thanks.